verse 3 and 4. It says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God." Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So as we go to Matthew and look in the first chapter, we glance at that, and it talks about the birth of Jesus. Okay, so we read about the birth of Jesus. Now flip over to chapter 2. That's our coverage for chapter 1. And it says, we read about wise men coming and seeking him today. Do you know today, wise men and wise women still seek him and look for him today? Okay, that's chapter 2. Let's flip over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, we read about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus Christ. And he did that by telling people to repent. Again, wise men and women today still are preparing the way for his return and telling people to repent and turn from their ways. I love hearing the pages turn. All right, we covered chapter 3. Let's go on to chapter 4. We're going to make a brief pit stop in chapter 4. And I'd just like you guys saying, where are we going today? Well, we've already covered 3 chapters of Matthew. Isn't that great? In about 2 minutes. In chapter 4, verse 12, we'll stop there for a brief moment. And that's kind of where we start today's message. Chapter 4, verse 12 through 20. It's a little bit of reading. We'll come back and cover a few notes. You guys have a pen out there? Because I want you to write some things down today. So get a pen ready and get something to write on, preferably the back of the bulletin and not all our offering slips. But whatever works for you, I'm okay with that. Just so long as you're taking notes and taking something away. Verse 12 says, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned.' From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' His brother, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." You'll have to listen very carefully today because I've got some notes, and as I was writing this, I wrote, okay, points 1 and 2, and then under those, point 1, I had point 1, 2, and 3, and I just got confused. So listen carefully as I explain what I want you to take note of. First thing is, this is where Jesus began his ministry. Second thing is, when Jesus told his followers to follow him, they came with no hesitation, no waiting. They didn't say, "No, I can't do that right now, I'm busy." So we're going to go back to point number 1 and take a look at that, okay? Point number 1, this is where Jesus began his ministry. And I just want you to think, as I'm going to throw a couple questions out today. When and where did you first begin your ministry? Just think about that for a minute. When and where did you begin your ministry? Well, I'm not sure what my ministry is or was or what it should be. I'm going to give you a couple ideas, and we had a great discussion last night, actually, about some of these areas. Okay, so under point number 1, I'm going to give you 3 things. First thing, when you're wondering what your ministry might be, what it might include, you don't have to turn. I'm going to tell you about it real quick. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28, Jesus tells us, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." That's when the guys wanted to sit on his right and left hand, and the mom came and said, "Can my boy sit on your right and left?" And Jesus told him, "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So it sounds like, number one, our ministry could be to serve. Point number two, under my first point, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 26 through 28, it says, when the Pharisee that was a lawyer, I always got to be a lawyer in the group, right? When the Pharisee that was a lawyer in the group asked Jesus, which is a great commandment in the law? This was just after Jesus silenced the Sadducees. Jesus responded with this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And second, like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So our other ministry point could be, we're here to love. Point number two, under my first point, we're here to serve, we're here to love. Point number three, under my first point, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus again spoke to his disciples and said this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, point number three would be, we're here to spread the word of God to all people in all places. So, three things we can take away from that. We're here to serve, we're here to love, and we're here to spread the word of God. That could, and as far as I'm concerned, should be part of everybody's ministry. So, again, reflect on that question. When and where did you begin your ministry? Or have you begun your ministry, may be a question. Now, to the second point. When Jesus was calling his followers, just as Jesus called Peter and Andrew to discipleship and follow, you and I have been called to follow him. We may have been called by someone else or whatever, but ultimately Jesus called us to follow him. So, of course, I have another question. When were you called to follow Jesus and begin your discipleship or your following of him? And what was your response? Was your response, let me drop my nets and go right on with you? Or was it, I'm a little busy right now and I don't have time, or that'll interrupt? Or did we halfway follow him and then lose sight of him and then play catch up? So when and where did you decide to follow Jesus? And what was your response at the time? And ultimately, today's message, the gift of light, that's actually my third point that I didn't mention. So I had point number one, when did you begin your ministry? Number two, when did you follow Jesus? Point number three, when you read back over that, it's in chapter 4, verse 16. And it said, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Spencer, could we do a little test? Just take down the lights. Or whoever's over there, Andrew. What's so important about that? Well, bring them all down. Just bring them all down. We have a little bit of light. And what's so different about being in darkness back in the day? You could still have somebody preaching, teaching you, and you get all that stuff. You think, well, I can hear the Word of God. But here's the problem with that. You can't see the Word of God in action. So as Isaiah said, a great light has been sent. Now, they were in darkness. We're in a little bit of light here, but they were in darkness. So how exciting is that, that a light has been sent? Let's bring the lights back up. The difference is, when the light comes on, you actually see action behind that. We are to be light so that we can show other people our action. Imagine sitting in darkness and all that says, as James chapter 1, verse 22 says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And that is one of my favorite scriptures. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. So in darkness, you can hear the word. But in light, you see people doing the word. You see them in action on that. Okay, so that's our coverage of chapter 4. Very important stuff. But we're going to move on to chapter 5 now. Man, we're blowing through this New Testament. Isn't this great when you move that quick? But when you look and get those key points and highlights, we can move on and just cover those things. So in chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, this is one of Jesus' first time that he's speaking to a large group of followers. Not just his disciples, but a large group. And in verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Keep that verse in mind. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He told them, you are the light of the world. And in so he's telling each and every one of us, we are the light of the world. That's a powerful thing to be given, a light of the world. It's not to be hidden under a basket. It's not to be put on a lampstand. It's to give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Why do we do that? Well, it says so right there at the end of verse 16, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Again, I have a question for you. How is your light these days? How brightly is it shining? What is it showing? Is it flickering? Is it a bright light? Does your light reflect your good works? And in so, does it glorify your Father in heaven? That's what Jesus is saying, that our light should reflect our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Now, the light we have inside us, it's not my light. It's not your light. Well, where does that light come from? Well, it's the reflective light of Jesus Christ. And when we grasp and behold the glory of God more and more and more, the more we do that, the more we reflect His light. And again, not our own light. Let's flip over to Luke chapter 6. Page is turning. I love it. In Luke chapter 6, I wonder why my marker is in a different place. Sorry, stay there, but flip over to Luke chapter 11. Sorry, Luke chapter 11. I'm going to go back and read something while you're going there. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In Luke chapter 11, verse 33, it's roughly the same thing that we just read. Luke chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. And it says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. And when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light, or as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Well, what does that mean? You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat. Well, likewise, it's the same thing here. When we focus on God's purpose for our lives and God's word, we fill ourselves with His light, His reflective light. David said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes, focusing on the good stuff that God has for us. When we change, we can change from darkness to light by concentrating on God's word and what is right. Again, I have a question for you. Do you need to spend more time concentrating and reflecting on God's word and living that out in your life? Whatever you're writing on, find something to write on. I have a quick test for you. And grab a pen or pencil, whatever. You don't need a lot of room. It's just going to be a short little thing I need you to write. And whatever hand you normally write with, put the pen in that other hand. I heard that. We're all in trouble. So whatever hand you write with, put it in your left hand. If you can write with both, good for you. It won't matter, so you can sit this one out. Okay? Put the hand or pen in your opposite hand. Now write your name in cursive. You can write one name if it looks that bad. You can write your first and last, first, middle, last, whatever. Just write your name in cursive with that opposite hand. Now, how scary is that for some of you to look at that? I did that and I could barely tell my own name. If I was knocked unconscious and came to and didn't know who I was and had to look at that to find out, I still wouldn't know who I was. So what's different about that? Well, we're not used to it. We're uncomfortable doing it that way. For some of you, it's very scary looking at what you just wrote. For some of you, it's unrecognizable. Just looks like squigglies from a spirograph set or something. So what'll make that better? Do you think if you did that 10 times a day, you'd get better at writing your name and could someday understand what your name was and who your friends call you? It's the same way when we're out of sync with God. When we do it more often and get in a steady practice, we get better at that and we get more comfortable at it. And we understand what we're doing. And we work on it. You know, some of us still have to work on writing our name with our hand we write with. Okay? We just don't have much practice. Or we don't focus on getting better at it. The gift of light is so important to give and hand out and reflect. I spent this last week training out of town in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was an incredible week, and I told some people about it and said some parts of it were truly life-changing. I thought, how do you get that out of training for the retail world? Well, they talked about being a servant, being a leader, and how to do those things and how important that was. But they talked about it just as being a person, not as being a leader in a retail environment, but just in a person. Our class instructor for the week shared many things that connected with us on deep and emotional levels. And then a point or two really connected on a spiritual level to some of us. And I walked away just kind of scratching my head thinking, what was it about that experience that was so powerful to me? I thought, it was a gift of light that people shared when they shared their own experiences. Breaking down at times, sharing experiences of life and how important one person was to take a struggling part-time cashier and put their arm around her and say, you're going to be somebody someday, and I know you're going to make it. When she cried getting her first check, saying, I can now afford food. Thank God. And one person put their arm around her and gave her comfort. And she progressed up through the ranks and is now a teacher and a trainer, sharing valuable information about reflective light and giving the gift of light. Think about writing with that left hand. For some of us, that's our spiritual walk, our ministry, our discipleship. We just need to keep doing it a little more and a little more to get better at it and to get more comfortable in it and with it so that we can understand and recognize it. As I close today, I want to read a poem by Robert Louis Stevenson. And it's called The Lamplighter. And it says, my tea is nearly ready, and the sun has left the sky. It's time to take the window to see Leary going by. For every night at tea time, and before you take your seat, with lantern and with ladder, he comes posting up the street. Now Tom would be a driver, and Maria go to sea, and my papa's a banker, and as rich as he can be. But I, when I am stronger and can choose what I'm to do, O'Leary, I'll go round at night and light the lamps with you. For we are very lucky with a lamp before the door, and Leary stops to light it as he lights so many more. And oh, before you hurry by with ladder and with light, O'Leary, see a little child and nod to him good night. What does that have to do with the gift of light? It has everything to do with the gift of light. You see, when somebody asked him the purpose behind that poem, when he was younger, he was sick. And he spent most of his time in bed. But that was his highlight of the evening or the day, was to go in bed where there was a lamppost in front of the window, see that man coming up the street and lighting that lamp. Because when he walked away, it left a warm glow behind. And it left light behind for him to go to bed by. And it comforted him. For some of us, for some of you, you may be that lamplighter in somebody's life. And you may not know it. I don't know that Leary knew it, how important he was to Robert Louis Stevenson's life. And some of you may not realize the importance of how you carry yourself day in and day out. But I guarantee you're the lamplighter in somebody's life. For others of you, you may need that lamplighter in your life. You may need somebody to come up and just light that light. Light the lamp and leave a warm glow behind when they walk away. And so many times I talk about the words we speak and the actions that we do. We can speak all the words we want, but again, when we're in darkness, they can't see us in action. One of the things they told us this last week, I don't remember who said it. I don't remember. But he said, your actions are speaking so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And it means I'm watching the things you do more than what you say. It's a beautiful thing when the two line up. So final question for the day. Final questions. What glow are you leaving behind when you leave someone and walk away from them or someplace? What glow are you leaving behind when you leave someone for the day at work or whatever, or when you leave some place? Are you shining enough light for people to see the message of Jesus Christ in you, or are they just hearing the words in the darkness with no action being seen? I encourage each and every one of you this holiday season and throughout the rest of your life, be a lamplighter in somebody's life. Go out and give people the gift of life, the gift of light. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the freedom to praise and to worship you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to come freely and of our own choice each and every week to be together. God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. We thank you for that reflective light of your Son, Jesus Christ, in each and every one of us. God, we ask you today to multiply that light, to clear the darkness out of the way so that other people can see that reflective light, to cover that flickering light in some of us and protect it from the enemy and the wind blowing out the last bit of flame that we may have. Lord, that we can protect that flame until it grows stronger and stronger. That we can encourage each other, thus making the flame bigger and bigger. Lord, we're thankful for those among us that are lamplighters. That when they walk away, they've left a warm glow behind. And they've given us a feeling of comfort a feeling of warmth and a feeling of peace. And Lord, right now for those that say, I need a lamplighter in my life. Lord, I'm just struggling right now. God, we ask you just to reach them where they are. And while we're still praying, right now, if you feel, I just need someone to come light my lamp. If you're just struggling to get that feeling of warmth and light, would you just lift your hand up so we can pray for you? Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Just please lift your hand and say, I need someone to help shield the light that I have inside of me. Just lift your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. For those that raise their hand today, Lord, we ask you just to put your protective hands around that flame. Lord, we ask you just to warm them. We ask you to protect that flame against all evil and help encourage that flame. Lord, to build that fire up, to build up that reflective light. Lord, for those that didn't raise their hand today that may be feeling the same thing, we ask the same for them, Lord. Just to give them boldness, maybe to touch somebody that they know is a lamplight and say, could you just pray for me? Because that's going to leave a glow behind. Maybe today you've never felt the warmth of Jesus Christ and you don't understand that. And we want to pray for you also to begin a relationship. If you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're curious about that, just raise your hand today also so that we can give you some information and share that with you. Thank you. Lord, as we close today, we thank you for the reflective light of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you just to encourage each one of us to continue to be a lamplighter in somebody's life and to share that glow. Lord, we ask you just to make us light and salt and understand the power of that. Protect us as we go out this week and just protect our attitudes and our behaviors this week as we face busy times, busy people. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.